Well, once again, good morning, good evening, good afternoon, or good whenever you are listening to this. This is Pastor David speaking to you, and thank you, any and all of you who are listening in. I have sitting on my desk a set of headphones. They are a wired kind that we use here at the church for sound system things, and also to help edit recordings, like the one you're listening to right now. This particular kind has large ear muffs so as to help keep the sound around my ears or whoever happens to be using them. They have a wire that goes to your device, in my case a computer. They have speakers which are made of intricate parts. There are pads to make the ear muffs comfortable on the ear. And I could list many other things about the headphones. If you were to take any of the parts away, these headphones would not work properly. For instance, take away the plastic piece that goes over the top of my head and holds the two ear muffs with their internal speakers. Take that plastic piece away, and these things would be very frustrating to use. I would have to constantly hold them up to my ears. Take away the wire, and of course no sound would be produced. Take away the speakers, and nothing would come out. Take away the cushioning on the ears, and they would hurt. Now, we've said over the last number of weeks that when it comes to the matter of achieving peace, you need as a Christian, a collection of truths. Take out one or a couple, and you will either get frustrated or have no peace at all. No peace will be achieved at all. Just as if you take a part from these headphones away, things will not go well either. Now, today we're going to add another truth to our collection of truths to help us achieve peace. And that is this: we need the peace of the local church. We need the peace of a local church. I'm going to read for you Hebrews 12:14. I'll also reference a couple of verses around that passage. And so if you want to have an open Bible to look at this, that would be a text that you would might want to open to. But otherwise, just listen in. Here's what the writer of Hebrews says in Hebrews 12:14. Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. This passage of Scripture, when it speaks about pursuing peace with all people, it's likely not talking about every single person around us. There are passages of Scripture that deal with that idea, such as Romans 12. We actually looked at that a couple of weeks ago. Rather, this passage of Scripture is talking about us pursuing peace with people within the church. There are several reasons for that. One is a bit technical in the grammar that the writer of the Hebrews uses. You can find an explanation for that technical grammar explanation in William Lane's commentary on Hebrews. But the more obvious one, and the one that is easier to see, comes in the immediate context of Hebrews 12:14. The writer of Hebrews is pretty clearly addressing relationships in the church both before and after verse 14. For instance, just listen to Hebrews 12 and 13. Hebrews 12:12-13. Therefore, strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather be healed. Now, this is assuredly talking about helping others within the context of our churches so that people don't stumble and fall in their faith. That is exactly what the writer of Hebrews says in verse 15, looking carefully lest anyone fall short of the grace of God. We are to be people who help those who are weak in our church so that they persevere in their faith toward God and Christ. So, what comes before this command to pursue peace and what comes after the command to pursue peace relates to the context of the church. That means that it is really likely that this command to pursue peace is also related to the church. The all people, or everyone, that we're to pursue peace with is referring to all who are in the church. Now, when you hear that, that might seem a little bit odd to you. I mean, after all, most churches are supposed to be peaceful places, right? Most of us have seen movies in which there's a scene in which a distressed person comes into a church to pray and find calm in their soul. And quite frankly, probably some of you have done that. I know I have. But peace in the church, of course, isn't just talking about the building. We're talking about pursuing peace among the people of the church. That is to say, among those who claim to be born-again Christians, baptized as such, and those who are recognized as Christians by the church. We are to pursue peace with those people. Now, this is necessary for two reasons, at least two reasons. First, we're to pursue peace because it doesn't always happen among Christians. It doesn't always happen among Christians. I think of that passage of scripture in Philippians 4 where Paul names, by name, two ladies, Euodia and Syntyche, and Paul has to encourage a leader in the Philippian church to, quote, help them to have the same mind in the Lord. What that means is that they were so at odds with each other that Paul had to send a letter to tell them to get along. And of course, it's not just ladies. Men and women throughout the age of the church have found ways to be at war with each other and not peace. We all still struggle and wrestle with the flesh, and that flesh pushes us to fight for what we want and to strive for our own way. We want our rights. And when someone violates our rights, or at least we perceive that they violate our rights, we are often, in our flesh, ready to do whatever it takes to get what we want. One pastor I know related this account to me from many, many years ago. There were two families at a local church who were at each other's throats because their son and their daughter got together and she got pregnant. And they both blamed each other for this sin. It's your family's fault. No, it's your family's fault. Of course, it was the son and the daughter's fault. Their feud grew so great that the husbands nearly came to blows in a church member's meeting. It was so bad that the police had to be called. Now, that is extreme, but it illustrates the heart problem that Christians still struggle with. We don't always get along as we should. You can see this not just in fisticuffs, but also in attitudes as well. Think of the Corinthians who were saying, I am of Paul. No, I'm of Peter. I'm better than you. I am of Christ. They were dividing the church by personality types. It was also the Corinthians who were taking each other to court. You know, today, people might divide the body of Christ along personality types in different ways. Someone might say, I love John MacArthur. Oh yeah, John Piper is my man. Oh yeah, I'm better than you both. I just follow the Bible. By the way, nobody actually does that alone. We all have teachers that help us. How foolish and divisive. We can find feuds among Christians over matters of discretion and discernment. I will tell you right now, I fear this greatly for churches, including our own. Not everybody sees the same things when it comes, for instance, right now to this COVID pandemic. And that means that not everybody sees the same things when it comes to how we should respond, both individually as Christians and collectively as a church. These are hard matters to think through. I was talking to one pastor just yesterday, and he said, if any person thinks that they have all the knowledge on this issue and that they have all the keys, that person is dangerous. And unfortunately, there are people who think that way. They have it all figured out. And my friends, it's just likely that none of us do. They're hard matters to think through. And so even in something like the COVID-19 thing and how we respond to it, there are definitely rights and wrongs as to how to respond, but they are difficult to think through and difficult to think through how to apply the biblical principles in as it relates to this matter. So we need to pursue peace because it doesn't always happen between brothers and sisters in Christ, not just now, but throughout all time. Second, we need to pursue peace with other Christians because when we don't, when peace doesn't happen, real spiritual wounds are created. Real spiritual wounds are created. Now, immediately, we might think of the wounds that come from the parties that are feuding. And no doubt, they might those people might be hurt. But I also think wounds are also experienced by people surrounding the battle. I think of a couple of my kids who were playing and wrestling around a while ago, and they were getting pretty intense, and it was just fun. And then the fighting, the wrestling got a little more intense, and then one person went flying and crashed into an innocent bystander child. And that innocent bystander child was hurt, and the tears and the wailing and the gnashing of teeth followed. Now, we can see that, of course, not only in just light incidents like that. We can see that in real war. Many casualties occur in war that are not between military personnel. They occur from the bomb that went off course, the stray bullet, or the massive starvation that sometimes occurs because people are cut off from supply chains. And the same thing can happen in the church. That's why the writer of Hebrews goes on after he commands us to pursue peace to say this, looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this, and hear this carefully, by this many become defiled. Not just the people who are feuding, but the people who are surrounding the feud. The picture is here that there are people who are doing wrong and others are either pulled into their sin or maybe even just give up on Christ altogether because they see it as disgusting what Christians do to each other. And I wish I could say that I've never seen such things. I'm sad to say that I have. So we need to watch out for this kind of destruction and hurt and wounds that occur around us when peace is not achieved. The casualties of war are not just among the people who are fighting, and the casualties of not pursuing peace among brothers and sisters in Christ aren't just for those who aren't pursuing. It often affects others as well. So, how then might we pursue peace with other Christians? Well, certainly, the Bible has a lot to say on this subject, and it's more than we can say here. But I just want to very quickly give you three quick admonitions to as we work on pursuing peace with brothers and sisters in Christ. The first admonition is this, pursue it. Pursue peace. You say, duh, that's what you said to do. I mean, how is it that you're actually answering the question of how to pursue by just giving us the command again? Well, it's in the word itself. The command that the writer of Hebrews gives us is an intensive one. He could have used a less intensive one like seek, but pursue is what he chose. Think about a marathon runner who is in second place within a quarter mile of the finish line, and this marathon runner, he or she can see the first place runner not far in front of them. What are they going to do? They're going to pursue that person to try and overtake them. Think about the police officer pursuing a suspect running away. Think about an employee pursuing a promotion. These are things that you work for, that you strive for, that you push for. Now, here's the thing. Peace does not come automatically between brothers and sisters in Christ. You and I must pursue it. And I would just ask, is that what you do when there is a disagreement between you and another Christian? Do you actually pursue peace? I suspect that this is not the default position among many Christians. I know that even in my own heart, that's not my default go-to feeling. When something is going on in which I have a disagreement on, my default position is I want to be right. But the writer of Hebrews is telling us that is not what we're to do. We're actually to pursue something that brings about peace between Christians. Now, I'm not talking about ignoring the problem. In fact, it might be possible that at the end of the day, two groups of Christians or two Christians may not come to agreement at all on a particular matter, but still can live and exist in a peaceable way. Our default position as Christians ought to be one of peace among other Christians, not war, not feuds. And this is connected to our second admonition as we pursue peace. Not only must we actively, actually pursue it, second, we must recognize that we have objective peace between brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, I hope to expand on this thought in a future edition of this devotional as we work through this idea of peace. But let me remind you that according to Ephesians 2, Christ has already broken down the wall of hostility that existed between warring factions of people. Objectively, we do have peace with those who are in Christ. And that includes, my friends, the brothers and sisters whom we might not like, might not just have common interests with, and might even have substantive disagreements with. We have peace in Christ with them. That is why I could say just a few moments ago that our default position ought to be among Christians one of peace, because Jesus has achieved peace for us. Even when we disagree, we must recognize that we have objective peace between brothers and sisters in Christ. And third, as we pursue peace, we ought to pursue it through love. Pursue it through love. Love is the sacrifice of oneself for the benefit of another. Love comes as we delight in the promises of God, and that delight overflows in our ability to say no to self and yes to God. And often that means saying, I will serve somebody else at the expense of my own wants, desires, and even needs. When we love someone, we seek their glory and their benefit and their pleasure. That mindset ought to be in our souls, down to our innermost person. It's true, certainly, that we ought to love all people, but it's especially true in regard to those who are in Christ. You know, there are many verses that demonstrate this, but let me just highlight one for you. It's Galatians 5:13. There Paul says this, "For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another." And that ought to be where we're headed as we attempt to pursue peace with all the brothers and sisters in Christ. As we close, I want to give you one beautiful verse from the Psalms that captures in part the beauty of peace between believers. It is in part, but it's an important part. Psalm 133 and verse 1. There the writer of the psalm says this, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." Friends, let's do that as we pursue peace among the brothers and sisters in Christ. Thanks for tuning in. And as always, the Lord be with you all.